Alright, folks, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
The Tornado Tony Pennycal.
And Psychic Tom Paget. Crystal Ball, raring to go.
And all fired up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And he's watching the big fight. He's going to be there with the president. Supposedly, even Donald Trump has got, the White House supposedly has requested him for tickets to Mayweather versus McGregor, and it's starting to turn into a little bit of a story, but I don't know, it's kind of gone off the chain there lately. The first one, they cut Conor's mic, the first press conference, they're doing a world tour, and he did not like that. You could see him trying to say stuff into the microphone, and he really couldn't say much. Floyd Mayweather's running around the stage talking about how he's the best ever, and he's, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and he's a nine-figure fighter, and Conor made $3 million his last fight, so... He made it all about the money, of course. And then, of course, Conor McGregor had to make a prediction, you know, Mystic Max style. He said he's going to knock him out within four rounds. So, I did watch the entire thing. I might regret it. I don't know. Might have been a waste of time. But, yeah, I watched the whole first one. And then I saw some clips of the second one today where... Conor went off about the microphone situation and just and went off on the Showtime guy, even told him to fuck off. So it was bad. Like, you know, if you're ever hoping to do anything else in boxing with these guys, you might want to take a step back with stuff like that. But the Showtime guy laughed in his face, so thought that was kind of crazy. And I didn't see a lot more there, but apparently Conor won the second one and Floyd won the first one somehow. Yeah, right? What are these debates?
Are these things online yet?
They're live online if you subscribe to Showtime and to UFC on YouTube. You'll get a notice in your email, live press conference on now. So, I don't know if they've got them taped, but I imagine on Showtime that's probably what they've done. Eventually, is after a couple of days, they'll post them. But yeah, I was saying before we started taping that the funniest thing, the first one, was when, even before they had started talking, Floyd Mayweather kept looking into the bag, you know, the backpack that he always carries full of money. And, you know, the other story this week is that he owes a shit ton of money in taxes from last year, 2015, when he got the big fight with Pacquiao. So, he hasn't paid his taxes yet. And he told the IRS that, you know, he's about to have a high liquidity event, you know, with this McGregor fight. So he'll be able to pay then after that. He's asking for a delay. So anyway, make a long story short, instead of reaching into his bag like he usually does and pulling out bricks of money, he pulls out the $100 million check that he's got uncashed, supposedly. And he's flapping the check in the breeze, like, hey, look at this. And I kind of broke out laughing when I saw that, because I was like, are you kidding me? It made Conor's point in the beginning, like, oh, he can't even afford a suit. Made it sound good, you know. So I thought he won on that point, but. Yeah, Mayweather's just wearing a tracksuit, and he's got a hat from one of his old fights on, 48, so, I was like, what the hell, maybe Conor's right, maybe he is on hard times, but he's never worn a suit to a press conference, so I don't think he's going to start now, Floyd. And then the other thing that I thought was really funny about the first one is Conor said, yeah, I got a pinstripe suit on, it's my own design, and, the pinstripes actually say "fuck you."
Yep.
So classic, but I'm sure it's going to be interesting. Unfortunately, for one guy that's in touch with a lot of the MMA fighters out there, he's not even going to get to be a part of it because the UFC, you know, with Dana White being supposedly involved in the negotiations, you know, he had to put his foot down on one thing, and that's Ariel Helwani banned from covering the world tour. He made Showtime ban the guy.
Wow.
UFC.
Well, that is vindictive. Wow.
Ariel tweeted, UFC specifically asked to have me removed. Incredibly disappointed. 100% Dana White's call, he later tweeted. He fought for it and won. Again. So, but he's still a credentialed member for the tour somehow, but he just won't be working for Showtime's broadcast. And that kind of fits into what I was also going to report. Pauly Malignaggi was part of Showtime's broadcast the other night of the press conference, first one. I don't know about the second one, but he's apparently been hired now by Conor McGregor as a sparring partner for this so-called super fight. So it was kind of
heard that.
It was kind of interesting hearing him talk about it, and they never mentioned that he was going to be a sparring partner. At least, you know, they're not the portion that I saw. But they've had some history talking back and forth about boxing and MMA. And Malignaggi actually told him, "I'm going to knock the beard off you, homie," in December on Twitter.
Well, that would have been some great sparring for him.
Yeah, yeah. And Conor, of course, had to come back with, "Who the fuck is that guy? I don't know who the fuck that is. I don't even know who the fuck that is, but I'll slap the nose off him if he ever mentions my name again." So we're going to see who gets to do what. Whose beard's going to get knocked off or nose is going to get slapped off. But Malignaggi told ESPN, "I think they also picked me for my boxing brains and to give my 2 cents. If I'm there, I'm there to help and do my part to improve him and get him ready for this big opportunity. I'd like to think there were several different reasons I was called. I'm looking to make things happen for him." And he kind of makes the point that I made a couple weeks ago, I think, about this. But he says, "Realistically, to ask Conor to win this fight is a big ask. But maybe he can win moments of the fight or certain rounds. If he's winning certain moments of the fight, even if he loses in the long run, people will talk more about what Conor did than Floyd winning." Well, that's an interesting point.
Well, boxing guy. That is a big if. That's a very big if.
Yes, it is. Can you tell Tom loves this subject?
I know what's going to happen. Yeah. I know I'm going to cave in. I, in spite of all my willpower or lack thereof, I know.
Yeah, that's right.
I just know because they're saying, "Yeah, the owner of the pub is expecting you." I said, "Oh no, no, no!"
You know, and, Tom, it's like there's a party and you get invited and you don't want to go and you're, "I'm not going, I'm not going, I'm not going, I'm not going." Tell anybody why you're not going. It's this pub sucks. The DJ's terrible. The caterer is awful. I won't go. I'm not spending the money for this party. And then you're like, "Oh, but you know, well, Rich is going to be there." "Oh man, Rich is going to be there." "Nope, I'm not going." "Her attorney's going too." "Oh, damn it!" You know, because I'm not going to be, you know, all these reasons. I'm not going to have any stories to tell. And nope, I'm not going. I'm not going. Last minute, I ain't got nothing else to do. And okay. Maybe for a little bit, but I'm not going to have fun.
Yeah, because if I don't go, I have it on the computer, and I'll be looking at the updates and the whole night be down the drain. You know, if I don't go, the best thing that can happen is I'll be happy when it's over. Yeah, oh God, I just know. I just know in advance. No willpower.
Chris, your crystal ball's telling you.
I know. That's the worst part of it. I need a 12-step program, and we don't have one for this. Maybe I could start one. That's what the AA guy did. He started his own 12-step program.
Yeah. Well, actually, one thing that I wanted to kind of mention about the broadcast on Showtime, they had a little chat board going for the live stuff. It's the first time I really tuned into anything live on YouTube. So I noticed the one thing that 99% of the people posted on there, because it was only a flash, you only had a second to read it, was 49-1. 49-1. 49-1. 49-1. And like three people posted 0-1. So, I mean, I guess there's a lot of people pulling for McGregor. I mean, that was like literally 95%. I mean, I'm not going to be scientific about it and pin it down, but I'd say 95% of the tweets was 49-1. Even if it was people doing it six times in a row, I don't know. But there was a heavy MMA presence on that call. And
well, I wonder if it's just a distaste of Mayweather as a person, not as a fighter, or as a fighter, or the clash of styles, or just being McGregor fanboys. I don't know.
But we had a lot of UFC action over the weekend. The Ultimate Fighter 25 finale was Friday, and then we had on Saturday we had the main event was called off. Supposed to be the main event was a female fight, Amanda Nunes and Carolina Kowalkiewicz, I think, or Shevchenko. Yeah, Valentina Shevchenko. And so Nunes ended up pulling out. I forget what it was. It was something. I did read the cause. She pulled out of the fight.
Well,
after
you remember, Rich, she had medical clearance to fight.
Right.
But she just said, I don't want to. And Nina was justifiably less than happy, shall we say.
Yeah, so that didn't sit too well. And they elevated Robert Whittaker versus Yoel Romero to the main event. And Whittaker had some rough early going against Romero, but just basically went deeper into his gas tank, found a little bit more dynamic things to do, and it's nobody thought it would be a five-round fight, but it looks good for Bisping. a lot of people were pretty much ripping Bisping a new one for the way he threw his belt down after that fight, and just basically dissed Whittaker. And then Whittaker, in his post-fight interview, actually gave Bisping a lot of respect, which was kind of crazy. He didn't feed into the hype, I guess.
And then how about tearing up the Cuban flag during the fight?
Yes.
And throwing it into Romero's corner.
Classless, yes.
Oh, wow. Interesting stuff. But you know that this is an old fight maxim about heavy muscles. Sometimes, yeah. A lot of times, don't guarantee a victory in a fight. Like a lot of people who aren't familiar with the fight game, see a guy get in there and he looks like Mr. America. Ah, that's the guy.
Right.
Look at Romero's belt. Yeah. But then, remember that cliche about muscles need fat. And a lot of times, those old boxing trainers just did not approve of weight training. It's not a bodybuilding test.
That's right.
Contest.
And
Jimmy Austin was working for the longest time. I mean, he was a old school. He was the guy that, you know, taught at the old school. That school that burned down before the old school was built. And yeah. He was a guy that, he was anti-muscles. He was like, you know, you want to strengthen your body? Do push-ups, do pull-ups, do sit-ups, do things like that. And another thing about, you know, body beautiful, he didn't let guys look at, like, shadow boxing in the mirror. Now, I know a lot of people do that. I'm a, you know, guilty as charged, but he didn't like it. You know, that was him. He wanted you in the ring. You know, when you were shadow boxing, he wanted you shadow boxing in the ring. Hmm. But he was, he was anti-body beautiful.
Nuts. But anyway, so that fight went to Robert Whittaker. The most remarkable thing about this fight is Whittaker got a leg injury early in the fight, and Yoel Romero said he knew about it, but I think he was bluffing. Whittaker was not really standing on it right, and he had to fight a different fight than he wanted to. And he had to move around a lot more to avoid getting kicked there again. But it was his front lead leg, I think, and you could tell it was bothering him the whole fight, and he actually said that he had an injury going into the fight that just kind of aggravated it. So, just...
And you know, a very interesting side about that was done with a taekwondo or karate sidekick, and some guys on the underground were saying, well, why is that legal? Right. Well, why are heel hooks legal? Look what they can do to your knee.
Mm-hmm.
So there was quite a lot of controversy about that, but Romero didn't do anything illegal. You know, that's perfectly legal if you can land a kick there.
John Jones does that shit all the time.
Yeah.
Oblique kicks, they call them. Anyway, Alistair Overeem was in the co-main event, and he got the victory over Fabricio Werdum. It was not a very entertaining fight from my perspective. They kind of both looked sloppy to me.
Yeah, there was a lot of people were thanking USADA for the dad bodies. I hate that phrase, dad body. But, yeah, a lot of people were blaming USADA for that three-round slop fest.
Yeah, we need some steroids there, guys. No, I'm not advocating that. You didn't hear that. That was the Ken Shamrock coming out of me. Actually, it's funny I mentioned that because I just stumbled across the Iceman Scully post on Boxing Forum 24 where he was talking about his debate with Ken Shamrock, and he says there was a lot to talk about in an hour, and I think at the end of the session we had both made some good points on behalf of our sport, but one thing he said that really stands out was when he made note of the fact that our best fighter, Floyd Mayweather Jr., quote, would get crushed in MMA. I mean, come on, that's not something to be bragging about. The best MMA guys could take down a 147-pound guy that has never wrestled, grappled, or competed in martial arts in his life. I said, well, that's like saying Michael Jordan couldn't win an MMA either because the two sports are as different as basketball is compared to them.
Well, what were they debating about?
Well, it was boxing versus MMA. It was our debate series.
Yeah.
Tony got
him. I mean, you did that series so long ago, you had me on as a guest.
Yeah, this was 2007.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Because I joined it. I joined as the co-host in 2008.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. So I'll have to share that with you guys. Send you the link, the whole discussion that he started.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. But I always talk about that debate where they actually had to be told to cut it out because they're talking about females involved in boxing and MMA. That's the one that always, that's the part of it that always comes back to me because they were getting heated. They're about to challenge each other to fight. For real.
God, you know, I want to tell these guys, it's a big tent. We got plenty of room.
Yeah.
Okay?
Don't waste your energy. Now, Bellator didn't even exist back then, I don't think. Well, they weren't that popular, but yeah. Scott Coker is ready to call him out. Come on down to the cage. All right, so moving on. Curtis Blaydes also beat Daniel Omelanchuk by unanimous decision. Anthony Pettis looked all right against Jim Miller. He won by unanimous decision. Just kind of grinded it out. Miller kind of looks like he just can't put a bunch of wins together anymore. Used to be one of those guys you thought might be a champion, but he just cannot seem to get a good break or a win streak going. Also had Rob Font beating Douglas Silva de Andrade by guillotine choke in the second round. Alexei Olenek beat Travis Brown, another guy that just can't get it together. Rear naked choke submission,
you know,
in the second round.
Did you see that fight, Rich?
I did watch that. And Olenek.
Okay, the rap on Travis was, he looked like either at times he was drunk, or supposing I was never in the Navy. But I guess if you've been on a ship a long time, when you first get off the ship and land on shore, you kind of rock back and forth, and his balance seemed off.
That's what happens.
Did you catch that?
Yes, that's what happens when your stance is the same as the Fighting Irish logo. Notre Dame, you know? You just got one hand way out ahead of you, and the other one sort of by your chest. Yeah, that's how Travis Brown fights. He's got no defense, and unless he gets you within the first 30 seconds with a nice clip punch after he blows his wad, that's it. You know, he's gonna fight sloppy until the other guy gets him, and that's what happened here. He got taken to the ground.
You know, and if we just go back a few years, back say 2012 through 2014, he looked almost unstoppable.
Yeah.
And then he left Jackson's, moved out to Edwin, what's Rhonda, and look what happened. Wow.
Women weak in legs, right? That's what Mickey said.
Yep, there may be something to that.
No, it's not nothing to do with his legs to me. It's his shitty defense, and maybe Edmund needs to help him out with that if he can. But yeah, I just don't understand how he thinks he can get away with that shit. Just
How many times do you need to get knocked out?
Yeah.
Maybe he just can't. You know, he's at that point. You know, I know I say this too often, but at some point in a fighter's career, he is what he is.
Yes.
And there's just not much more evolution about it. And that's, I think that's where he's at.
And, they would cut him, but he's Ronda Rousey's boyfriend, so, you know. The owners are Ronda Rousey's agents for Hollywood. Yeah, that'd be mean. She might have to renegotiate her contract if something like that happened, you know. Well, anyway, Chad LaPrize also got a big win on this card over Brian Camozzi, Chris Camozzi's brother. It was a TKO from punches in the third round, 1 minute and 27 seconds in, and Brian looked all right at the beginning, but he just kind of stagnated and couldn't do wrestling for enough time to really make it a fight he controlled, so ended up getting TKO'd in the third round. And let's see, what else we have? We got Thiago Santos got a big win over Gerald Meerschaert by TKO. That was in the second round, 2 minutes and 4 seconds into that one. Bilal Muhammad decisioned Jordan Main. It was a unanimous one. Cody Stammen in the second fight of the night got a unanimous decision as well over Terrion Ware. And then first fight of the night, Trevin Giles beat James Bochnovic by TKO, or no, knockout, punch, second round, 254 into that one. And then, of course, we had the Ultimate Fighter finale on Friday night, and Justin Gaethje and Michael Johnson went to fucking war. They beat the ever-living shit out of each other. And I don't know how Gaethje was able to walk after some of those punches. I mean, he was literally wobbly-legged. And then to recover and come back and torch Johnson the way he did, and just with literally 12 seconds left in the round, knocked Michael Johnson.
You know, Tony, the best way I'll describe that, it was like a movie. And very seldom in pro fighting, and all of us know this, very seldom in pro fighting do we see a Rocky movie. Because normally when you're in trouble, it's hard to come back. And this fight, out of all the controversy and everything that went wrong, this is the kind of fight that makes me realize why I'm so addicted to this. I mean, and I really didn't care who won, but it was just one of those back and forth and back and forth, and he staggered, he's coming back. Now the other guy staggered. Wow. We got our money's worth. Wouldn't you agree, Rich?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's Creed. You know it's Balboa. And now it's Creed. You know, I know exactly what you mean.
And normally that is in the movies. But this Gaethje comes on, and I love this post-fight interview. Where's my equal? Where's my equal? Well, I'll say this much. There may be a lot of squawking about his technique, but people want to see him. What a splash he's made. Boy,
yeah, and this is a guy who came from World Series of Fighting. One of his biggest fights there actually was against Nick Newell, who had the stump on one arm and was just tearing through people. Even with that situation. So, Gaethje went in there and just demolished the guy, and then everybody criticized him for it. It's like, oh, come on. I mean, I just did my job. But then World Series of Fighting folded, or voluntarily dissolved, and is now going into the Professional Fighters League. So now Justin Gaethje ends up with the UFC, and his attitude going into this is, you know, I have to prove that I belong here. And Johnson going into this, 17-12, you know, been around a long time, is to prove he's not just a gatekeeper or anything. He is the real deal. So both of them had a lot on the line, and Johnson just unloaded it on Gaethje. I mean, he sat him so close several times to knocking him out. And Gaethje, there's one where it's just right in the middle of the cage, and Gaethje got clocked on the chin, and he was literally moving sideways and all wobbly, and Johnson just could not get another punch in after that to seal the deal. And Gaethje came back and started throwing his own punches. I mean, it's just total rock 'em sock 'em robots. And but they were a little bit more advanced than the original game.
And you know how Johnson had said before, and the analogy, Tony, would be a slick boxer puncher against a brawler that's just going to put a lot of heat on you. Okay.
Right.
And Johnson, of course, being the guy that could move better and being the more experienced guy, and he just said, I'm not going to be drawn into a brawl. But this Gaethje is just one of those machines, like a Joe Frazier type. He's going to draw you into brawl. You don't have a choice because he's coming at you, and you hit him again, and he's still coming in. He ain't stopping.
Yeah.
Maybe you hurt him, but he shakes his head, comes right back in again. I mean, I don't know where he's going to be 20 years from now, what his IQ is going to be like. I mean, you got to wonder how many brain cells he lost in that fight. Whew.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, his trajectory now, I mean, he has made a splash. I mean, everyone's talking about fighting him now.
And then kind of overshadowed the co-main event, which was for the Ultimate Fighter finale, big check and contract. Jesse Taylor came in and took advantage of Diego Lima's lack of seasoning on the ground and just totally made it about wrestling for the most part. And he looked crisp all around, though, I'd have to say. I mean, he's got some good people in his camp. He's working with Dan Henderson, for Christ's sake. And Diego Lima pretty much had nothing to show there. He really didn't advance much during his time away from the show. And I mean, he just went in there and fought hard and showed a lot of heart. But you could kind of tell, like Tom and I said last week, it was going to be Jesse Taylor all the way. He's just going to be able to use that wrestling to dominate.
Well, you know, Jesse is one note Johnny. I mean, his game hasn't really evolved, but he's so good at what he does.
Right.
You know what he's going to do. You can see what he's going to do. He makes no bones about it. And I think the kind of fighter who will give him trouble would be a Tyron Woodley, who has great takedown defense, great wrestling, and a big punch. Or maybe if Damian Maia could pull off the upset over Woodley, maybe that would be one heck of a ground battle. See the best BJJ practitioner against a powerful wrestler. So, see how it goes. But, yeah, I just you got to give him credit.
Yeah.
I mean, he did what he said he would do.
I thought he was probably the most muscular and in-shape dude on the entire show, too. He definitely takes it seriously. And, you know, all the side clips they show of the family and situation and, you know, all of his regrets from getting kicked off the show, it was just, like, unbelievable that he was able to win it. And it's truly like living up to the label of the show. The title was called Redemption. So, and to get thrown off the show, and then it took him that many years later to get back on the show and then win it again. You know, with all kinds of new people. It's not like he went against the same exact people. It wasn't a fucking reunion of that season, you know. This was all different people, younger people, a lot of younger guys than him. And just for him to go in there and win the big check and, you know, get back in the fold was pretty much one of those things where you have to look at that and go, well, if he can do that, you know, I can do whatever I gotta get over right now. Yeah, pretty much accomplished anything.
And it seems like he's really got the weight cutting down because he does not look like he belongs at 170.
Right.
He looks huge.
Yep.
So he's really got himself going right now. I mean, I think he's going to have trouble as he moves up, but right now, he's on a roll.
Yes, sir. And then we had Drakkar Klose getting a split decision win over Mark Diakhizi. Jared Cannonier beating Nick Roerich by TKO from elbows in the third round, 2 minutes and 8 seconds into that one. Brad Tavares beating Elias Theodorou by unanimous decision. We had Jordan Johnson in the sixth fight of the night beating Marcel Fortuna by unanimous decision. And a female fight early on in the night was Angela Hill versus Ashley Yoder. Hill got the unanimous decision win there. And another Ultimate Fighter alumni guy we interviewed last year, James Krause, beating Tom Galicchio by unanimous decision. And that was another example of just a guy showing just mostly heart out there, Tom. And James just had his number. Wasn't much competition for him. But, you know, gives both guys an opportunity to showcase their talents. And I guess Tom ought to go back to selling candy. Or maybe you could teach him to be Psychic Tom too, Tom.
Well, I hope he gets a few more fights. He seems like such a good person.
Yeah.
Just really hard guy to trash talk. So I hope he can make some money.
Yep. And third fight of the night, C.B. Dolloway used to be up in the main portion of the card, but he's been demoted down to the lower tier. He beat Ed Herman by unanimous decision. And again, it was kind of a thing like Jesse Taylor, just used a lot of wrestling and better grappling and groundwork to get that win. And Herman just kind of ran out of gas.
And I will say, both of those guys left everything they had in there. Dolloway was sitting down for about 3 minutes after the fight. He couldn't even stand it.
Yep.
I mean, that's laying a lot. That's doing everything. And Herman, you know, Herman's been around for so long now. When I first got to Las Vegas, one of my first weekends out there, I wanted to go to watch the finals, but it was at the Hard Rock Cafe, and it was sold out. So I wasn't able to see it, but that was 2006. Hmm. So Herman just can't quite seem to get the break he needs.
Right. Is what it is. Tisha Torres, Tony's tiny tornado cousin, got a win in the second fight of the night over Juliana Lima by rear naked choke.
It was a victory.
Yeah, so she's gonna get
it. Every time I hear that, it's a laugh button.
word is, she saw your tattoo, Tony, and she's gonna get a tiny one. first fight of the night, Gray Maynard beat Teruto Ishihara by unanimous decision there, and that's another guy.
Yeah, good for him. He really needed that win. Oh, did he need that?
Yeah, sure. We got MMA fights this weekend, but let's switch gears for a second and go to some boxing. One of the biggest cards this weekend is actually overseas. The 15th is actually the big. They're not even going to talk about any other date for fights this week because BoxRec says all the important fights are on the 15th. So hopefully it's one page of all good fights here. But got it loaded up, and it's London, United Kingdom, across the pond. This is a pretty big card. Arthur Abraham coming in at 46-5 against Chris Eubank Jr. coming in at 24-1 for the IBO World Super Middleweight title. And co-main events, pretty much same deal. Experience versus youth here. Same exact record for the challenger here. Lee Selby, 24-1. Fighting Jonathan Victor Barros, who is 41-4-1. For the IBF World Featherweight title there. And then we've got Robbie Davies Jr. at Super Lightweight, 15-0, fighting Michael Sirawatka, who is 18-1. That's for the WBA Continental Super Lightweight title. And then Kid Galahad, 22-0, fighting Jose Cayetano, who is 21-5, for the vacant IBF Intercontinental Featherweight title. And then we got a couple undefeated guys. Martin Joseph Ward, 17-0-2, fighting Anthony Kasachi, who is 15-0. Probably didn't pronounce that right, but that's a new one. I haven't seen that name. And that's for a couple titles, the BBB of C British Super Featherweight title and the vacant Commonwealth British Empire Super Featherweight title. And out in Arizona at the Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino, got a couple interesting fights for semi regional titles, I guess. John Vera, 16-0, fighting Daniel Rosario Cruz, 11-2 for the WBA, NABA, USA Super Welterweight title. And then we got Rico Ramos, 27-5, fighting Juan Antonio Lopez, who's 12-2. And that's for the vacant WBA, NABA Super Bantamweight title. And then out in California, at the Forum, or Forum Inglewood, California, Miguel Burchelt, 31-1, fighting Takashi Miura, 31-3-2 for the WBC World Super Featherweight title. It's kind of hard to believe this isn't televised. We also got Jezreel Corrales, 21-1, fighting Robinson Castellanos, who's 24-12. That's for the WBA Super World Super Featherweight title. And we got Joe Smith Jr. back in action. He's 23-1, fighting Sullivan Barrera, who's 19-1 for the WBC International
Light Heavyweight title. There's his only loss. It could have been, was it Andrew Ward? Or I think it was Ward. And he's a tough fighter, puts a lot of pressure on. So him and Smith is going to be a good tussle. You know, two strong, hard-punching, very aggressive fighters. You really can't go wrong in a fight like that.
Right. And then the big show on Fox. I don't know. I guess they're not listing any of the TV networks if they're not listing the Fox one for some reason. When you click on the date, doesn't tell you. Anyway, Omar Figueroa Jr. facing Robert Guerrero in the main event there on Fox from Uniondale, New York. Omar is 26-0-1. Guerrero is 33-5 with one draw. And it's a big Premier Boxing Champions card, and you know it's one of their last remaining big networks that they have, so they're hoping it's a lot of action. And then we got Marcus Brown versus Shawnee Monahan. Both of them undefeated, 19-0 for Brown at light heavyweight and 28-0 for Monahan. And if you could discuss those two, I have to let my dog out over here because she's giving me a funky look.
Is that Bronson?
No, Roxy, my dad's dog.
Rocky, I like that one too. Roxy. All right, Tony, if Guerrero wins this, where does he go? Well, great point there.
Say Guerrero is going to come in there as the favorite. You know, he is, as I said, this is a crossroads fight, so you have, Figueroa's on the trajectory, the upward trajectory. Guerrero may have seen his better days on path. So if Figueroa wins, he's supposed to, you know, no step towards, you know, superstardom, potential big fights. And if Guerrero wins, boy, that's going to throw everybody into a little bit of a quandary there, because I think he puts himself back in the title picture. And you got some really good fighters in that weight class, you know, even the guys that aren't the world champions. But I could see, Guerrero... You know, could there be a fight down the line with a guy like maybe Sean Porter? How about possible matchup with the Danny Garcia?
That division is so stacked. God,
take the champions out of it. You know, take the champions out. Take out you know from between 147 and 154. In fact, you know what, throw in 140. Throw in the Terrence Crawfords of the world, you know? You got, you know, throw in the Mikey Garcias of the world, who's moving up in weight, so he might not physically mature enough yet to be considered in that 147-pound caliber. But you got those guys. And then you go to 147, and you're looking at the Garcias, just the contender-wise. You're looking at the Garcias. You're looking at the Porters. You know, Guerrero could get his name back in there. You got Figueroa. I mean, you got the boy that just lost the title to Errol Spence, the English boy. Of course, I forget his name.
Cal Brook. Cal Brook.
Yeah. I mean, those are the contenders. Then you go to your champions, and then as you move up again, you know, to 154, you got the Charlo brothers out there. You know, Canelo Alvarez is moving up to 160. I mean, but he could still make 154. You know, and what I'm mentioning, I mean, well, right now, Manny Pacquiao has a little bit of a setback. I mean, just the superstar names out there, and I just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. By the way,
I mean,
I did watch Pacquiao versus Horn, finally. Got the bootleg copy online. And I really was not, I was not impressed by Pacquiao. And a lot of those punches that, you know, he doubled the output of Horn, they're really pitter-patter shots. And, you know, his head movement and stuff like that made it so that he weathered a lot of Horn's punches better than Horn weathered his. But really the only round that Horn was demolished in was that ninth round. He did keep the rest of the rounds close, and you know, he was a very game fighter. I still don't agree with the decision, but I mean, just a different fight than everybody's kind of making it out to be, just because of the punch output. It was very close, I think. I just don't think he did enough to win. Just got a little hometown cooking.
Well, I was just concerned about Teddy Atlas having a stroke.
He just
could not call. I mean, he gets very emotional all the time anyways, but even by Teddy Atlas standards, he just could not calm down. Right. Wow. This sport is corrupt. Yeah, Teddy, how many years you've been around? Okay, you just figured this out. Jeez.
Well, anyway, to finish off this card, we got a lot more names and fights, different weights here, heavyweights even. Arthur Spilka, 20-2, fighting Adam Kownacki, who's 15-0 there. We got super welterweights, 15-0, Eric Walker fighting Patrick Day, who's 13-2-1, and that's for a little title, the WBC Continental Americas super welterweight title. Then we got Jamal James, 20-1 at welterweight, fighting Ionut Dan Ione, who is 36-4. And then we've got a female fight, Mary McGee, 23-3, fighting Alicia Napoleon, who is 7-1. And I've heard that she has a Napoleon complex.
What a cool name. What is her first name again?
Alicia Napoleon.
Alicia Napoleon. What a cool name.
And that one's for the vacant IBF World Female Super Welterweight title. And then we got to mention this one because it's a former guest of ours. Tommy Raynone is in the undercard. 26-7, fighting Fidel Monterosa Munoz, who is 37-13-1. So, sounds like a tune-up fight for Mr. Raynone. I don't know if he's been away for a while or he just bit at the opportunity there. Well, that's pretty much it. Those are the big fights for this weekend in boxing. And then we got a couple big ones. Bellator and UFC this weekend. UFC is coming to us from Glasgow, Scotland on Sunday, July 16th here. And main event there is a guy from that territory, that area, Iceland, I believe, Gunnar Nelson. 16-2-1, fighting Santiago Ponzinibbio, who is 24-3 in the main event there. And then we've got Joanne Calderwood, 11-2, fighting Cynthia Calvillo in the co-main event. She is 5-0, Calvillo, and Calderwood's 11-2. And we got Stephen Ray, 21-6, fighting Paul Felder, 13-3. And Felder's from the United Kingdom. Jack Marshman on the card. He's 21-6, fighting Ryan James, who's 9-2. And then we got Paul Craig, 9-1, fighting Khalil Roundtree, who is 5-2. Seventh fight of the night, James Mulheron, 11-1, fighting Justin Willis, who is 4-1. Sixth fight is Danny Roberts, 13-2, fighting Bobby Nash, who's 8-2. Fifth fight is Alexander Pantoja, who is 17-2, fighting Neil Seary, 16 and 12. And we got Charlie Ward, 3-2, fighting Galore Bofando, who is 4-2. Daniel Henry, 10-2, fighting Daniel Taymor, who is 6-0. Albert Morales, 7-1-1, fighting Brett Johns, undefeated at 13-0. And then first fight of the night, Leslie Smith, who is 9-7-1. She is fighting Amanda Olivero de Limos, who is 6-0-1. And then the big Bellator fight card on Friday again is at the Windstar Casino in Thackerville, Oklahoma. Main event there is Derek Campos, 18-6, fighting Brandon Gertz, who is 14-6. And then we've got John Salter, 13-3, fighting Kendall Grove, who is 23-16. Then Joe Warren, 14-6, fighting Steve Garcia, 7-1. Got a female fight here too, Jessica Middleton, 2-1, fighting Emily Ducote, who is 5-2. We got Andre Fialo, 7-1, fighting AJ Matthews, who's 8-6. Justin Lawrence, also on this card, he is 9-4, fighting Tristan Thomason, who is 10-5. We got Jordan Howard, 9-3, fighting Johnny Marigo, who's 4-0. Looks like they brought out the whole damn roster for this card. We got Rafael Lovato Jr. fighting Mike Rhodes, who's 10-4. Guillerme Vasconcelos, 9-3, fighting EJ Brooks, who's 10-5. Another female fight, Bruna Vargas, 2-1, fighting Katie Collins, who's 6-2. And yet another female fight, Brittany Elkin, 3-3, fighting Amanda Bell, who's 4-4. We've got Valentin Moldovsky, 5-1, fighting Carl Sumanutafa, who is 10-7. That's about it for the big fights. There. Alright. And that's about it for big news stories that I have. You guys got anything else to add before we call it a night? Did we lose Tom? Tom, you there?
Well, yeah, not really. I mean, I think I'm kind of wound up and got it out of my system, but I'm sure I have some more good stuff next. Good stuff here with my fanatical friends trying to get me all excited. I bet they have odds on that. Is he going to go? Can we get him excited about it? Will we talk about it on the show? You know? So,
you know they're going to.
I'm trying to be brave. I'm trying to put up a good fight, but you know,
I'm gonna
you know, if you go out, you're getting knocked out. But go out in my shield, so we'll see.
I'm gonna put in for press credentials. I'm gonna put in for press credentials for the fight, and I'm gonna send him your picture, Tom. So you're gonna have to go.
Oh, wouldn't that be it? All right.
I think
it would be hilarious. Yeah. That would be funny. Tom will be, like, strapped to a chair with his eyelids taped open. At the pub. Watching the fight.
Well, who knows? Maybe the luck of the Irish could come through and we could have a couple competitive rounds. I don't see it, but...
Paulie Malignaggi might have something to do with that. We'll see.
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, thanks for stopping by, and another great show.
All right, guys.
Lots of big fights to talk about. And look out for the Philly Superfan. It was a great video, by the way, Tony. It's good shit.
Thank you.
And
All right, we'll have some fun next week.
And Tony, say hi to all your girlfriends. What? Say hi to all your girlfriends and your groupies from your photos.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, take it easy, guys.